Our scripture reading this morning is 4th chapter of Philippians, verses 15 to 20. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gifts, but I seek the profit that accumulates in your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This ends the reading.
Morning, everybody. So our Ellicott City Fund, just make your checks out to the church. If it's in this envelope, it'll be sure to go to Ellicott City, or just put a little note on the check too. You can always do that. That'll help as well. Something we can do, right? I'm sure we'll be doing more. I know a couple years ago you all organized teams and did a bunch of other things. That we're not ready to do that yet, but we will. And we'll see how we can be of help. This is our town. This is our community. And these are our folks. So we want to reach out to them. Do what we can. Let's have a moment of silence. I want to be in prayer for the people of Ellicott City right now. How about we do that? As sailors feel the lure of the sea beckoning them to push out into the deep, we feel the lure of God calling, beckoning us to leave the shores of our self-living, to venture ourselves upon the sea of grace. Like little eagles perched in the nest where we open our wings of faith and feel the lift of the wind of God's Spirit. We're still in Pentecost season, right? The wind of the Spirit's blowing. We need to open our wings to it. We fear to let go, yet the thrill of the wind tells of a soaring life of freedom and joy beyond the nest. An instinct of flight awakens within us. We yearn to be swept up by the wind of God's Spirit. We're designed to live for the love of God. As an eagle was created for the sky and has wings for the wind, we're created for God and have wings of faith to be open to the winds of the Spirit. How do we open our wings, our lives to the winds of the Spirit? How do we do that? By letting go and accepting what's in front of us, realizing that God is a part of what is going on. We're living in a time of unsettlement. We don't know what's next, and we pull back from the uncertainty. Sometimes we're like the airline passenger who hates to fly and is afraid to relax and trust the plane. So when they were asked at the end of the flight, how was the flight? They said, oh, it was fine, but I never put my weight down on the seat. It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Hold your weight up. It's hard to keep ourselves up all the time. It's hard to keep propping ourselves up. It takes a lot of energy. Being called to step out on shifting sands, and while we believe, we're hesitant. We know we're eagles. We know that we're meant for God, and yet we're not so sure. Questions come into our minds. We get caught in those questions. There's a difference between believing things about God and living for God. We probably have the believing down pretty well, a lot of us, but the living for, that takes a while. That takes actually a lifetime to live into. But we can continue to practice and grow in it. We live for God when we let go of whatever we're clinging to. Like the circus assistant who was watching a tightrope walker prepare his feature act, which was to roll a wheelbarrow on the tightrope close to the top of the tent. And the manager of the circus saw the assistant and said, "Do you think he can do it?" And the assistant said, "Oh yeah, he's the best. I'm sure he can do it." "Well, great, because I'm going to ask you to get into that wheelbarrow." We're being asked to get into the wheelbarrow. Go from watching, "Oh, that's great," or "That's not great," whatever we do, to participating, getting in the game, acting on our belief. Young man asked Jesus what he needed to do to obtain eternal life. "I know this thing. I'm asking Jesus. This is a cool thing. Jesus knows it. He's the guy, right? He's going to tell me what to do, and I'm just going to do it." And that's how we think, very modern. But Jesus throws a wrench into it. No, it's not a couple things to think about. It's not this, having a couple good ideas about God. It's what you do with what you have. It's what you do with what God has given you. It's how you act. It's how you live. It's how you participate, how you get into the game. That's what he says. And so he says, you need to let go of some of this stuff. That's all that you're holding on to, that you've been working so hard at, it's keeping you from me. It's in the way. It's not letting you fly. You're going to have to let go of it. And he went away sorrowful. What a commentary, right? We love happy stories. I'd like to think that somewhere along the line he thought about it further and said, "You know what? I think I'm going to do that. I think I got what you're talking about, Jesus." We need a Bible for the rest of the story. You know what happened to the two brothers after they actually were back together again? The prodigal son and the older one. What really happened when dad wasn't there? What did they really say to each other? Maybe that young man came around. Philippians 3, this is earlier in Philippians. We're in Philippians today, the book of Philippians. "Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the prize, the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." I love that passage because it gets at this very thing. Letting go of what was, what we've been holding on to, forgetting. Forgetting enough so it puts it into perspective. Not that it's actually gone, but it's not dominating anymore. It's not what we're holding on to. It's not the lens that we're working from anymore. We're gonna turn. A lot of the Bible is about turning away from self, turning towards God. This is a turn from what was to what is and can be, accepting where we are so that we can move into the next place. How difficult to let go of things when the things behind us have such an impact. We think about Ellicott City and the flood. Can you blame anyone for asking why? For being despairing today? Starting to see the articles come out in the paper today. There was some things about what people are saying on Facebook as well. Is anybody angry about that? This is grief. We're going to see the stages of grief, played out. And some of us are in it ourselves because of our connections there. But so it's sadness. It's anger, might be some despair. Maybe people are wondering if they're crazy to invest resources. Some are saying we are going back. Some are saying we're not going back. We need to be with people right now wherever they are. Our hearts go out to them. How does someone come back this time? But when the moorings of your life have literally been pulled out again, you know, pulled apart, there's, you know, whatever you were holding on to is shaken once again, and your business is taken, your faith is shaken. You know, it's one thing to let go when everything is going well for us. It's another thing to let go when we're facing tragedy and uncertainty and, you know, questions in our lives. There's got to be a lot of soul searching going on now. In the midst of grief, it's the time for comfort and compassion. So this is what we're about right now, isn't it? You know, at the bottom, when we're at the bottom, we feel like we have nothing left, or we don't know what to hold on to. It's kind of like we're starting to have to let go. When we really do let go, we find that even there, even when it's at its worst, there's a sense of God's presence. There's God coming in. You know, it's almost unexpected. Like everything else is gone. And God's saying, but I'm not gone. I'm not there. I'm not leaving you. God comes in like a word of peace and grace and hope. We can do this. We can find our way through the uncertainty. We can find our way when sands are shifting. When we let go what we don't want to let go of. So here are two prayers of people of faith, and we hear them both, right? It goes like this: Lord, give me the strength to hang on. That's one prayer. Lord, give me the strength to let go. There's another prayer. Right? You kind of go back and forth in those. Sometimes people of faith suffer from the clinging syndrome. You may wonder, what else can I do? Imagine yourself, you know, falling off of a cliff. You think that there's just a canyon below. It's dark. You don't see what is going on. You're holding on to a little, you know, branch or something for dear life. God is saying you don't have to do that. What you don't realize is that about 6 inches below your feet is a road. You know, 6 inches below us, 6 inches, you know, just in touches, just around us, just a little bit out beyond our sight is God. That little distance there. Remember the Michelangelo painting of Abraham, God and Abraham, is a little distance there between the fingers. That distance is the distance of faith. That's the place where we are. That's the place that God has put us. Jesus assures us that the rock of God's presence is beneath us, is here. God will not let us down. Discover the true source of blessings when we let go. We find freedom when we let go. There's freedom in this. You know, grace is a freedom, has freedom woven in it. When we're holding on to whatever it is we think we have to hold on to, we miss the freedom that God is trying to give us and has for us. Find amazing freedom and peace. There's a song, it's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. From that freedom, we find the courage and the will to step out on shifting sands and to be a blessing to others. That's another piece of this. This isn't just for our sake. It's so that we can share that on to the next place, to the next person. We find the courage and the will to step out. When all else is being pulled from underneath, we look around, we put our feet down, we say, I'm not going anywhere. I can be here. I don't have to run. I don't have to hide. I'm not running away from my life, from my hardships, from whatever I'm facing. Giving into the doubts that crowd my mind. For the God I know is right where I am, is with me, and will give me that strength when I let go of what I'm clinging to so tightly. like a tree standing by the water. The roots go down deep. Paul commends the Philippians for letting go. What happens when a church lets go? What happens when a church says, you know we've been blessed, we're going to share that blessing with others? That's what the Philippians did. You know, what happens when a church, you know, honors what it is that God is doing in them and for them and has been with them through it all? What do they do? And this is what happens with the, what we hear in Philippians 4, 15 to 20. Paul writes this: "You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone." Wow. What a kind of commendation. "For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift now. Now I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. That's what I'm praying for. You've given me what I need. Now I want you to receive all that you need. I've been paid in full and I have more than enough. I'm fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus." Like a pebble in a pond. The pebble goes out. What we give is where we put ourselves, where we are able to let go enough to give, to put ourselves into the mix, it ripples out. Something happens. Something good goes further and further. Glenmar, you have learned to channel your resources in creative ways to touch thousands of lives every year. I see you as the Philippians. You've been there with the people, with Paul and the others who have been in ministry. I wanted you to see this slide today, something we've been working on. Take a look at that. It may be a little hard to read, but you can kind of see through the center of it. We have 700 or so people attending church. We have 1,400 members. We have 2,200 constituents. That means people who aren't officially members but are connected here. And then that line, which I just can't get over, that 1, 2, 3, 4th line there. How many lives have we touched in 2017? That's 2017. 21,000 plus. 21,000. That's touched through our ministries. That's touched through all the various things that we do through the year. What we wanted to do was to put it all into one place for you, because we tend to see these as projects or in, you know, in separate categories, as separate missions. But what if we put them together, 21,000? Then we have the number of people in Howard County, USA, and world. Down the left side and the right side are projects. They're not everything that we do. They're not all the ways that we're involved, but there are a bunch of them. There are many of them. And look, it fills both sides of the slide. It's full. I don't, you know, all churches have mission, right? That's what it means to be the church. If you don't have a mission, it's a question as to whether you really are a church. Church by definition means, and mission means, caring about other people. So that hasn't been a question here. You know, you've been working on this for a long time. 21,000 didn't happen overnight. You've been working at this probably since your founding, certainly over the last 30 or 40 years. But this is where you've come. This is who you are. So we can describe the church in a lot of different ways, in the ways that we worship and praise God and all the things that we do in worship and the ways that we are living as learning and growing. But this is the praise and the discipleship put into action by you. Yes, staff is involved with some of these, not all of them. you are the ones that are making these happen. You are the ones that are stepping into living your faith, putting something out there, not just believing and being kind of comfortable with that. A lot of these involve being risking in some way, stepping out in something that maybe we haven't done before, trying to see where it is that we can be of service somewhere in the world. So you're feeding, clothing, and serving people. You're empowering, encouraging, and speaking God's word of new life and Jesus into people. Jesus is in all of this. This is where, you know, Jesus is moving in this. There's plenty of scriptures. We'll look at some of these over the summer, but where we find that Jesus is outside, you know, the walls, as it says in Hebrews. If you go outside the walls, that's where Jesus is. You know, he died on the cross. The cross was outside the walls of Jerusalem. It wasn't inside. He died out there because he died for the world. Glenmar, you're getting a sense of the church in the world. You have it. You've been growing into this. So a couple of just points I wanted to make about this. First, what you do is vital to the spiritual health and growth of people you will never know. That's been okay with you. You don't have to know the people that you're reaching. That's been okay with you. But it's got to be even more okay. Because if God is doing all of this now, what might God want to do with you in the future? What might God want to do with us at this point going forward? No, what is it that's next? People we haven't met coming to know Jesus. It's not about whether we meet them and know who they are. It's about whether they know who Jesus is and whether they're coming to follow him and coming to live their lives, know something about him so that they can let go and live their lives for him. So that's number one. Number two, the DNA of Glenmar is service, giving with a servant's heart. That's abundantly clear to me. It's probably clear to you too. We need to just continue to own that and live into that. It's one of the reasons we're having an offering for Ellicott City today. Because this is what we do. Number three, God blesses you in your giving so you can do more. More. So that whatever is next can happen. There's a game we individuals and churches play called HYCB, which stands for Hide Your Congregation's Blessings. Now, we tend to be humble about what we do. That game is often played by churches that don't ever share their blessings at all. We do them, you know, but we need to, I would say, to be even more intentional about what it is we're doing. Why are we doing it? How might what we're doing, you know, translate into people who are really living for Jesus? And I think as we do that, we'll find that kind of freedom, that graceful freedom of moving in rhythm with each other and with people outside. Church and the world, church in the world. It's what I think we're a vanguard of that. It's a big story. In the face of a big debt, you know, people outside this church identify the church by the debt. That's what's really interesting. They really don't see, you know, some of my colleagues. So how much is the debt again? That's what they'll ask me. So it's interesting that we don't couch things that way. That's there. But we are not letting the fact that we're working through the debt, which we are, be the dominant message of our church. In fact, it's way in the back. It's not that we're ignoring it. We're working on it very diligently. But it's not how you describe Glenmar at all. We have a story to tell. It's a story of rooting people in the love of God by touching people with the life-giving message of Jesus. It's It's a huge story. It's a grand story. It's a story to tell. Those of Glenmar, dozens and dozens of needs are met. It was an easy step for Paul to say, yes, Philippians, you are doing it. So I want you to be blessed in it. So he would be saying to us today, we want you, Glenmar, we want you to be blessed in what you, who you are and what you're about. That slide is a huge blessing. To be part of Glenmar is to be part of those ripples. What a privilege. What a wonderful thing. Don't we all want to do something that makes a difference, that has some meaning? You know, be part of something that's bigger than we are. This church is. We're vital in that. And I say this kind of privately. I'm saying it today publicly. This is where we come from. So when we talk about our commitment Sunday, which is next Sunday, it comes out of all of this. It comes out of people whose lives are being touched and need to be touched. Our world needs us more now than ever. I think Paul didn't want the Philippians to be blessed just for their own comfort, just so that they would feel good, but to widen their vision. And so for us too, may you be blessed, folks. May you understand and know that God is blessing you richly. And the more you give, the more you're blessed. The more you think about others, the more God thinks about you. May you know that. May you rest in that. May you know. That's not uncertain. The things out there are uncertain, but God's blessing is not uncertain. This is for you to widen your vision. So the ripples can continue to roll out further and deeper and wider. How can you expand? How can we expand in this unique time that we're in? How can we even think about expanding? It's because this is the nature of spiritual things. The natural thing would be to contract. What we're talking about is living into, expanding, stepping in. Where does God want us? How can we be of service to the larger community and the world? Through the abundance of our blessings, what are we being called to do now? I see it. I hear it. You inspire me. Let's continue. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this morning, for this time. And even as we're faced by challenges around, without and within, we know, God, that you are able. You are able. You're able to bring forth something that we can't see, and yet is right in front of us. As we let go into what it is that you're wanting to bring about in and through us. We thank you, God, for today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.